Now broadcasting the webcomic beacon. Hello and welcome to episode 125 of the Webcomic Beacon here at webcomicbeacon.com. And we are hosted on the Rampage Network, a webcomics hosting and community site at rampagenetwork.com. I'm Fess of PSIWebcomic.com, and with me we have, well, Mark Savory of AutumnLake.com. Welcome.
Hello there.
And Tanya Higgins of DaisiesAndShit.com.
Hello, hello.
And this week we have a special guest. Well, all of our guests are special. Well, most of them. Well, some of them. Well, this one is certainly special. It's Erica Moen from ericamoen.com and darkcomic.com, for those who have read that. Did I get that second one right?
Yeah, darkcomic.com. All Thanks, right. Guys. I'm so happy to be here.
Huzzah! Now, let the interrogation begin.
All right.
All right. So, I think for the most part, most people are going to remember you from the webcomic Dar, which I only got interested in just as you were starting to finish it, because that's when I first saw it. You know, I was like, hey, this is cool.
That, you got the better deal. You got to skip the crappy early stuff. So, I don't know. I think the people that found it even after it finished, I feel like they got the best deal, because they knew where it was going. They knew there was an end in sight, and they could just muscle through the horrible comics.
Oh. I think you might be a touch hard on yourself there. Just a touch.
No, those first couple of years are pretty bad.
Well, it's obviously a journal comic, since it's called a super girly top secret comic diary.
Yes,
and just to start things off, Dar.
Yes. the title comes from the fact that I recognize journal comics are very self-indulgent and ridiculous and kind of narcissistic and ultimately pretty forgettable. And when I was in college, when I started it, I had this affectation because I was obnoxious. And instead of saying duh, I would say dar. So when I had to come up with a title for this comic, which I thought maybe I'd do it for, I don't know, I'd just do it until I lost interest, which usually happens pretty quickly. I was like, okay, well, I got to give it a title that is stupid and ridiculous, because that's what a journal comic is. So I named it Dar: A Super Girly Top Secret Comic Diary. And then I was stuck with it for 6 years.
And you obviously let out a lot of personal stuff on there.
Yes.
And you actually approached that in a couple of your comics where you've gotten questions. Do the people that you write about ever have a problem with what your comic shows of them?
Yes, actually. And some people have a problem because they think I'm talking about them, when in fact I had no idea something similar happened to them. Yeah, well, when I very first started, I wasn't really thinking about any repercussions. It was just, oh, hey, this happened to me, I'm gonna write about it. And I didn't think, well, somebody else might have opinions about that. Well, maybe the way I'm portraying my ex-girlfriend might hurt her feelings. And so I learned that away. Nobody's ever told me, like, take down your comic or anything. But it's like, oh, hey, the way you show me like a heartless bitch, that kind of hurts. And it's like, oh, you have feelings too. Right. Maybe you shouldn't have dumped me. But, so early on, when I talk about my breakups with my first true love, I definitely hurt feelings there. And I tried to learn from that. And, from then on out, I would check in with people if I was doing a comic about them. And I've tried to really, I've tried to focus primarily on stories that I can tell without having to focus on somebody else's interpretation of it, because it usually takes two people to have an event happen between them, and each person comes away with a different interpretation of it. And so if I can just talk about things that have only happened to me, then I don't have to worry about hurting the other person. But that said, the majority of my comics star my, at the time, boyfriend, now husband, Matthew Nolan. And everything I've put up about him, I have had his consent. So there's nothing up there that he does not approve of.
I kind of wonder what the legality angle is for, like, when writing about something, somebody in particular, particularly if you name names, I suppose. Were you actually naming names, or just, you know, like particularly with your first love, did you actually list her name?
Once I did. And it was much later, and it was only her first name. And, well, she doesn't go by that name anymore. So I guess that's okay.
That'll work.
Yeah, I suppose. Maybe you get walk around with like the, a placard with a disclaimer on it here. By knowing me, you submit all your rights.
Well, yeah, kind of.
Actually, I think that's a general a plan for any artist that has a comic online. If you are friends with an artist, you might show up.
Yeah, but I do try to be respectful. Learning from my initial first year or two of the comic. No, I guess it was just the first year. I think the only person who's really been upset with me was my ex. But at the same time, she also was like, "But I did break your heart, so I guess that's what I get coming." It's like, that's right. Mm-hmm. That's right. Oh, I love it because when my last name is Moen, which is the name of a very popular faucet creator company.
Yes. Out
there. and so I was devastated after the first of many times that she dumped me. And she was telling me that she every day she'd have to get in the shower and there would be Moen right in front of her, just looking at her. And I'm like, that's right. That's right.
Haunting by faucet.
Mm-hmm.
That's why you founded that company in the first place. Just
that's why, yeah. I'm a millionaire.
Now I want a better last name.
You can't wash away the shame. So, by the way, if anybody who doesn't particularly like journal comics or diary comics, give Dar a look. And because I don't usually like him at all, but I kind of got hooked on this one. Hey, this is really cool, you know. And it didn't seem too self-serving as much as
Thank you.
It felt a little bit more like unhinged. This is what happened, and since you were so personal, you didn't seem like you were constantly a protagonist or something like that. But you know, shit happens. But you know, you seem to be in your own little world as well at the same time.
I tried to talk about things that later on in the strip. I tried to talk about things that I thought could be more universally understood or laughed at, instead of just like, guys. I'm so depressed today. Seriously, so depressed. And then I had a sandwich. End of comic. It's like, oh, who wants to read that? So I tried to really focus on things that happened that I thought were hilarious or that I felt a lot of people would be able to relate to. And, that's the story of Dar.
Well, all right.
That makes good sense.
Thanks.
There's a couple other of comics that you, if you go to ericamoen.com, you can check out some of her other short comics as well as other work, essentially an online portfolio here. And one that I got linked to at one point, I don't know why, but it was your Girlfuck comic.
Nice.
And I found it very, very interesting and educational, even for a guy.
Oh, I'm so glad.
Because, you know... I mean, a guy can easily
so
use this as well.
That's what that does.
But I would like to know, what was your motivation for making this? Was this a school project or something? Or
actually, yes. So Girlfuck, for those that have been spared, is it's a 16-page long introduction to how two female-bodied or identified people can have sex with each other and why they would want to. Because there's a lot of people out there, including myself when I was very first wading into those waters, there's a lot of questions that come up. And I know when I was with my girlfriend at the time, we would get complete strangers who would come up to us and ask these really inappropriate questions. Just like, yes. Hey, so if you guys are lesbians, what do you use dildos? If you do, like, why don't you just get a real penis? Why don't you just get a man? And, and they weren't all as blatantly offensive as that, but they were like really ignorant questions, and we would get offended, and you know, rightfully so, but at the same time, people were asking these things because they honestly didn't know. Like, why would lesbians want a dildo if they don't want to be with a man? And so I tried to make a really fun, easy to understand, friendly guide to that, because when somebody's calling you an asshole, you're not really learning anything. It's like, oh, well, I guess lesbians are just, you know, uptight dicks, I guess. Let's just move on. And it's like, no, if you can give him a comic that's really friendly and is like, no, here's why a lesbian loves a dildo. you know, people can come away with that and be like, oh, that was fun to read. And now I know. So that's why I made Girlfuck. And I actually made it for a life drawing class. We got to choose what our final assignment would be. Nice. And I figured, well, I'm drawing the body. And it's a liberal arts school, so I can get away with this kind of shit. So I made a 16-page mini comic, and it's not a comprehensive guide to everything. It's just meant to be an introduction, just to wet your whistle, so to speak.
Sorry. What, did you mean the innuendo there?
Always.
All right.
I thought that was a pretty safe assumption, yeah.
Well, I don't know. You know, I have trouble observing things. Anyway. I don't bring this up a whole lot because I forget. But you went to college specifically for an art major, or what was it?
Well, I went to Pitzer College in Southern California, and I went to it with the assumption that I was not going to do art. I loved art, and I was doing comics in high school, but when it came time to go to school, I was just like, well, you know what's not a feasible occupation? Being an artist. So I looked at all my schools without ever looking at their art departments, and then I went to Pitzer just as a general liberal arts school, and you know, I'd figure out my major once I got there. Great school, really loved it, and they give the students a lot of freedom to construct their own majors. You have to get it approved by a committee and have advisors who are making sure that you're not just bullshitting. You're like, oh yeah, underwater basket weaving, that's my major. It has to be something that you really do study and get credits for, and you have advisors on it. So I get there, and I think it was after my first semester, I was like, god damn it, I'm going to be an artist. Fuck. And unfortunately, Pitzer doesn't have the strongest art department, but they did let me create my own major. So I made one in comics, which is half of an art degree and half of an English degree, because comics are words and pictures. So,
well, most of them anyway.
Most of them. Oh yeah, some of them wordless, but you know, generally speaking. Right. So I did make my own major in comics, although I feel like I got a lot of life experience out of Pitzer, but not a whole lot of constructive education about like how to make comics, because I was kind of winging it on my own.
So with that, how do I want to ask this? So before you went to college, were you already did you already have a big strong affinity towards artistry or comic drawing or such?
Yes. I drew all the time. I would get in trouble for drawing in my classes in high school. I was specifically told, Erica, you cannot draw in class anymore. And I was like, no. And I cried. But yeah, I was a big drawer. And my high school actually had something pretty special, which was a comics class. So I got to take it twice. The first time I took it was the summer between 8th and 9th grade, and I was going into my high school. So I was going to be a freshman when the semester started. And I took this comics class from Lynn Lucas, who's a really great comics artist, and he's worked with Jim Ottaviani on his Making Science comics. And then I took it again. Oh, God, did I take it three times? It was a great class. It was an elective, so it's not like I was being held back or something. It taught me so much, and the things that I learned in that class I'm still absolutely using to this day. And what's really great is that So I started taking the comic class when I was like, you know, 14 or 15 years old, around that age. And now this summer, I am teaching a comics class to 14 or 15 year olds. And it's very full circle feeling, because it's been, you know, like, oh God, over 10 years since I did. And now I'm passing on that knowledge to the next generation who were born in 1996. What?
Yeah, no. It's a little creepy, isn't it?
Yes, it's like, you shouldn't be sentient beings yet. This is way
exactly.
too soon.
I freak out a little bit. We, you know, last night we were at dinner and somebody was, you know, mentioned 1988, and the guy at the end of the table was like, "Oh, I was two." I'm like,
"Drop dead."
No, people weren't born in 1984. What are you talking about? That's crazy talk. You're still in grade school. No.
I'm okay with like infants and toddlers, but people that are teenagers, I can't comprehend them being born later than me, like after 1983.
It becomes strange. Yes.
It really does.
Wait a minute, but you're talking and everything, really?
Yeah, but you're a little person. I don't understand. How were you born in the 90s?
That's so weird. Yeah.
Oh, that's depressing.
And then I get called ageist. Go figure.
The old bat.
It's all their fault. Twilight is all their fault.
Oh, God, no.
1988. Oh.
On that note, we're going to take our first break, and when we come back, so probably something less depressing.
Have news, questions, comments, or advertising inquiries? Transmit them to webcomicbeacon@gmail.com or dial 1-320-310-0922.
That was depressing? Wow.
Yeah.
Well, it wasn't mentioned a Twilight. That's kind of depressing.
Yeah.
All these younger people that are just, you know, they got it together and more successful than me because, you know, they applied themselves. But.
Young whippersnappers, get up on them!
People are older than you and have applied themselves, though.
I don't really have a problem with people that are older than me.
Oh.
Yes, I hate to see younger people doing better than me. I mean, you know, because they're actually doing it right, and I'm not, and only just figuring out what to do.
I don't even know what to do with you guys. Just go do it.
Yeah. I'm going to be trying to
Stop
figure out
bitching.
What I want to do next, too, so. But
get off my lawn, damn it!
So,
I'm gonna kill your father!
So, Erica.
Yes?
You were only, like, what, 26?
I am 27 as of 2 days ago.
Well, happy birthday.
Thank you.
Happy birthday to you.
It was really great. I had a very nice one.
Well, that's very, very good. Did you get another tattoo?
No, but I'd like to. I got the itch, but I don't feel I could spend the money on it right now.
Right.
Are you a planner? Do you have, like, tattoos drawn out for the future?
Yes. I take my tattoos very seriously, and I have a whole story that's going to be going down my arm.
Oh, excellent. I have a back tattoo planned out for my reward for a master's degree.
Ooh, what are you mastering in?
I'll be doing, it's a combined program for evolutionary biology and astrobiology.
What?
Yeah. That's,
I make funny pictures about farting.
I also make funny pictures, but mine are mostly about masturbating. But
oh, hey,
it's okay.
A meeting of the minds. Oh,
we're doomed. Doomed. Okay. Sorry. No, I'm not. All right. So, Erica, I've seen in a couple of your comics, and also I think I mentioned in the last one too, where You've mentioned you've gone, like, on tour, or at least going to places doing speakings, or what you, whatever's.
Yes.
Okay. Speakings. Could you? I'm not entirely sure how do you refer to that. Could you tell us a little bit about like what you speak on?
Oh, whoa, sorry. An ad just popped up on my thing and it had sound, so it was very distracting. I speak on comics, making comics. just comics, just doing comics. What I do.
Well, how'd you get into doing that? Was it through your school, or just somebody just noticed you and be like, hey, come over?
Yeah, typically people approach me to come and speak at something. I haven't done it that much. I'm sounding like, oh yeah, every other weekend I'm speaking. But yeah, typically the other party approaches me, although I think I'd like to start reaching out and maybe setting up some of my own speaking events, because as you probably noticed, I can keep talking and talking.
Which is awesome. We love that.
Hey, whatever fills the dead air time.
There's no space.
Oh, really? I just always am counting my uhs and ums and so, trying to fill the space before I can find my words.
No, now I'm going to be so conscious of it until we're done recording.
I put all my comic notes into a recorder, and every once in a while, if you listen back to my notes, you'll actually hear me yell at myself, stop saying so much, and then I go on with my notes.
I just edit them out.
When I first started recording the webcomic Beacon, I was editing them out.
I know.
I do. For my podcast, I do. If they're dumb, if they're like, they go on forever, like, I edit all that out. I edit all that stuff out.
Okay. Anyway. You're on a tour right now, and,
I'm not on a tour. I just have a bunch of individual events that I keep having to hop to.
Okay, but you're traveling with Meredith Grant of Octopus Pie, or you were?
Yes, for her Pacific Northwest leg of her tour. I did accompany her up to Seattle, and then here in Portland, which is pretty easy because, you know, I live in Portland.
Right.
Although people, if they want to see Meredith Grant on her amazing tour, they should go to octopuspie.com, because she is going all over the fucking place.
Yeah, she's really pushing it this time.
Yeah, oh my god, that girl is a machine. Whenever I think like, oh yeah, I'm doing pretty well, I'm working hard, all I have to do is look over at Meredith Grant, and I just want to shoot myself, because there's no way you can compete with how much she does and how well she does it, and there's few other people you're going to meet who are as hardworking as that lady.
Do you think Portland's a pretty artsy town?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, do you have a lot of support for comicking? And?
So much so that I've started taking it for granted, and I forget, oh, it's not like this other places.
It's not where I am. Sure not.
What is Portland like? Tell us about Portland. I've heard tales.
Tell me about Neverland.
Art scene there. I mean, you must have, like, you know, plenty of support, you know, friends who comic and things like that, I imagine.
Yes. So Portland, I think one of the primary factors about why there's so many artists in Portland is because it's a dirt cheap city. It's a city where before my husband came out, I could survive on $1,000 a month, and that covered my rent, my electricity, my utilities, my groceries, and a little bit of money left over for fun times. And that's kind of ridiculous in any other city. Like, you can't live on that.
in a coastal
Portland
state,
is cheap.
Yeah.
And then, so I believe that's what drew out a lot of cartoonists and other artists, is because, hey, you can actually afford to earn nothing and still live out here. And then because there were so many artists coming out here, then people look at that and say, oh, well, if all these other artists are out here, I guess this is where you want to go if you want to be an artist. And then they pack up their stuff and they head out. So I came out basically for both of those reasons. I graduated Pitzer College in 2006. And I'd spent a couple summers in Portland with my friends Jen Manley Lee, who does Dicebox, and Kip Manley, who does, it's not a comic, it's a words called City of Roses. And they let me stay in their house for like maybe two summers in a row. And so I knew that I really liked Portland. It has a really good infrastructure for public transit, so you don't need a car. It's a very bicycle-friendly city. So I knew that I liked Portland. I liked it in the summers, at least. So when I was graduating, I knew that this is where I wanted to go. I already had friends here. I liked the city. And then I got here, and it's just, it's one of my most favorite places in the world. I really love living in Portland. I ride my bike every single day to get to Periscope Studio, which is where I do my work. And I don't know. It's just, it's a great town. I can't say enough good things about it.
Is it like a city with like big tall buildings everywhere? Or is there actually some green area?
Lots of green.
Okay.
There's a lot of green. And as far as cities go, Portland is a tiny city.
Okay.
I kind of forget how minuscule it is, but then I go to maybe Seattle or anywhere else, and I'm like, oh, wow, Portland is just a really big town that thinks it's a city.
It's an overweight town. It just
it
grew a little big on the edges, and then it couldn't fit the town pants anymore, so they called it a city.
Basically.
Boulder did the same thing.
The town pants.
Town pants.
Yeah, I know at least one artist that would like to move out to Portland, or at least she expressed interest, but I think she tried to convince me of it, too, of how awesome it was over there. It's like, I don't know, because she's this big city girl, and she likes the city, and it's like, give me a suburban, you know.
I don't even know what that means.
Give me the suburban versus the, you know, the city.
Sounds like a euphemism. I don't want to know about
it. Concerned. No, I thought we were back on dildos again. Jeez.
What? Yes.
Give me a suburban baby. Yeah.
I don't know. though I think it would be a pretty cool town to live in. I don't know.
Have you ever been to New England, Erica?
No.
Okay, there goes my next
question mark.
I was going to ask to say, how does it compare to New England? Just so I could, you know, make fun of Mark a little bit.
Uh-huh. Let's hear. I'm sorry, you guys can make fun of me for this, but what exactly does New England encompass?
Ah! What?
Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, Massachusetts, Rhode Island, and Connecticut.
Yeah, never been to any of those.
Yeah, Mark longs for New England, but he's stuck at work, and he can't leave. So
yeah, work. You have to say it with disgust.
Work.
Not New England.
You're a full-time artist, aren't you?
Me, yeah.
Have you ever had a job in the private sector?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I had real jobs before I became an artist. I only became a full-time artist because my real job, the recession hit in 2008 and everybody got laid off at the company I was working at. So I started taking on freelance work just to keep my head above water until I could find another real job. And I was looking because, as I said before, you can't survive if you're an artist. And, you know, that's the mindset I had when I was going into college and all that. And then I kind of realized like 6 or 8 months after taking on freelance work that I had kind of stopped looking for a real job without meaning to, because I was so busy with all my freelance work. And then it kind of slowly started to dawn on me that maybe I can just do this and I don't have to go get a real job again.
Ah, that must be nice.
Well, I'm not implying that being a freelance artist isn't a real job though.
Well, there's no health insurance, and I don't have a steady paycheck. It's all up to me. I have to make it happen each month. I have to make sure that I can bring in those funds, and I don't have a steady source, you know?
That part kind of sucks.
If only there was, like, some sort of, like, comics artist.
You need a comic union where they offer, like, benefits and stuff.
Actually, Periscope Studio, that is a collective that I'm a part of. We all we have an office downtown that we all work at and share our resources. And there's been multiple times where they were trying to figure out if we can organize ourselves to, we're not a business because we're all freelancers, but is there a way that we could be some kind of like union-esque thing so that we could get health insurance, because a lot of freelancers don't have health insurance. And if it weren't for my husband, I would not have, I didn't have health insurance until he got some. But it just, Oregon's laws are set up in such a way that it is impossible for our kind of a, an organization to get health insurance. But that's what I voted for Obama, so.
I was going
to
say, maybe that'll change.
We hope. When is it, like, what, 2014 or something? When
that comes into effect? Don't get sick till then.
Yeah, well, 2012, they start allowing, what do they call it? It's kind of like insurance co-ops, so that might be where it starts to get better for things like this.
Hmm.
But then again, the Mayan thing, you know, 2012, we all died anyway.
Oh, right. I forget.
Isn't that when Sarah Palin runs for president?
Oh, God.
You know what? If Sarah Palin runs for president and has any inkling of winning, I hope the Mayan prophecy people are right. Welcome to the end of time.
Well, no matter how you look at it.
Forget it. You know, the second that happens, I'm in the fucking UK. I'll go to Nottingham. Screw to you.
Nova Scotia's nice. Maybe I'll wander up.
Anyway.
Hang on one second. Oh, okay.
Sorry. We kind of...
No, I thought there was somebody at the door here. All right. So, all right. Fleeing the country. You'll know we're safe. Didn't you see that movie? Anyway.
I'm kind of curious. What? So, when you're making your comics, what is your weapon of choice? Is it the brush? Is it... ink pen? Is it
digital?
Marker? Digital?
Actually, it's going to sound convoluted when I say it out loud, but trust me, this has sped up my process like you would not believe. What I do is I have a Wacom tablet, and I draw digitally first in Photoshop, and I put the lettering in, and then I print that out on 11 by 17 Bristol board in a very light color, and then I have trouble drawing big, and I make a lot of mistakes when I draw. You may not have noticed, but I'm not that great of an artist. And and I found that if I just draw straight into Photoshop, I can correct things so much more quickly than I can if I'm penciling it on paper, because I have to erase and erase and erase, and the paper starts to get kind of raggedy. So I do all that rough stuff on the computer, print it out onto Bristol board. Bristol board is a nice thick cardboard. Well, it's not cardboard, but it's a really thick paper that
like a cardstock.
It's a cardstock. Yeah. And then I ink with a Winsor Newton Series 7 number 2 brush.
Those are my favorite.
I am a big fan of. And I don't know what kind of ink I use, because it's written in a language that I don't even know where to start on. And so ink that, and then I scan it back in, and then in Photoshop I just drop out the light colored lines that were printed originally, and then I tone and make further corrections in Photoshop.
Now how do you print out that scale?
That's the benefit of being part of Periscope Studio.
Ah.
So we're 22 freelancers that are all sharing the same space and sharing rent, and we pool our resources to buy really fancy, expensive things that we wouldn't be able to afford on our own. And some of those fancy things include... Whoa, did someone just spit up? No?
No, I was pulling another Twizzlers out of the bag.
Oh, I heard a noise. It sounded gross.
That's
so we have... We have these giant oversized printers that are capable of printing on 11 by 17 Bristol board, and bigger sizes even, but that's the size I use. And we also have these giant super oversized scanners, and we have a couple Cintiqs that are just available for members to use.
That's
great.
Wow, that sounds like a great idea.
That is a great idea, because those large format printers are not cheap at
all.
They
are not.
See, I could see people in Seattle or even Minneapolis doing it, where they do a lot of comicking there.
They have a large enough community.
I could see.
I should look into it. I should see if there should be some co-ops around here, I think. Then again,
I couldn't see that where I'm at, but I could totally see that in an artsy area.
I think most people just work alone around here, but they still get together once in a while. There's something called the Cartoonists Conspiracy. which no, really. And no, really, it's just basically this loosely affiliation that it's all about people that make comics, and you, all you need to do is just say that you're a member, and you're a member. Why? Because it's a conspiracy. But I don't know. Okay. It's kind of fun, but it's not like it's a co-op or anything. But every month they do get together for the Minneapolis chapter and the St. Paul chapter and such.
The only thing I could think of in New England that does that is the Center for Cartoon Studies in Vermont.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
They probably have access to that. That's a great idea. Gosh, I wish I lived someplace I could look for it. I really do.
Mark is no man's land.
I am. It's sad, but that's a great idea to pool all the resources so you can afford, you know, the really decent tools.
So get on it, webcomickers.
I would so want to set something up like that around here if I could.
Another project for Fess.
Yeah.
Just when you could.
There's no hope for me.
But it sounds like Portland's a great venue for that too, where the rents aren't out of sight and it's affordable to live and everything, I imagine.
Yeah. I'm a big old fan of Portland, and my husband, he's actually British, so he got him straight from the UK, and he is overall not a big fan of everything American, but he does like Portland a lot. So it transcends the anti-American.
The cultural divide. That is excellent.
He would go on holiday there.
Yes.
Vacation, but he would...
Anyway, to avoid getting into more cultural insensitivities, are there a lot of youngins or children around in Portland?
No, it is a childless city.
Sign me up.
Me too. I'm on my way. Oh, boy.
It's like the swimming pools where you have the child free times when the grown ups can come swim. That's what
adult swim.
Sounds like they need some help. I'm on my way.
Tiny monkeys. I can't go to Portland.
No, they'll kick you out.
No, we got kids here. We got kids everywhere. They're in the movie theaters. They're yelling. I'm teaching them in the class. They're great. I love them.
Yeah, that is kind of amusing that you did ask a teacher if there were children.
Well, she said teenagers.
Well, they were children just as...
But not right now. Time ago. But not right now.
What is it Captain Kirk said? You know, they're like you, but they're small. They grow.
Anyway, we're going to go to another break, and when we come back, news.
The woman on the TV set is clutching both her great big breasts, and she sure looks like she is having fun. In purple plastic panties, she is writhing, she is dancing, and it's plain to see she really turns her on. This is MTV, you know, and that is how the music goes, and all the male guitarists think she's great. They believe that girls like this actually do exist, and secretly we all love to gyrate. Well, pardon me, but I have never done a thing I can remember that remotely looks like this at all. Except for once at Girl Scout camp when several bees got in my pants and one of them flew in my training bra. Maybe these are fantasies. Just break this gently. There's no such thing as girls like that. The catalogs of lingerie come to our houses every day with women who have mostly nothing on. My favorite is the one who sits and drinks her coffee in her kitchen wearing just a silk robe and a thong. Well, let's be real here. Let's just say my kitchen any given day is not exactly somewhere you seduce. Between the cat hair and and the crumbs. Your nakedness might make him numb, and even worse, he might begin to puke. And if you're gonna wear a thong, you might just find that cat hair's gone to places you don't want cat hair to be. And besides, you know the fact, a thong just rides right up your ass and serves no earthly purpose I can see. No such thing as girls like that. Well, lastly, I will say to all the boys who make the Barbie doll that I think Barbie's really cute and fun. But if Barbie were a real life chick, her waist would be 12 inches thick, her bra size would be close to 41. So by the age of 53, those things would be down to her knees with osteoporosis on the way. So after having said all that, I'll leave you with a simple fact. My favorite girls are women that are not afraid to cry and laugh and eat some food that's high in fat, can change your oil, fix your flat, can say some prayers and blaze a path. And I'll just say on their behalf, there's no such thing as girls like, no such thing as girls like that.
That was No Such Things as Girls Like That by Christine Kane from MusicAlley.com by Mevio.
I'm losing my voice. I talked too much yesterday.
The spices of life.
Yeah, hey, I saw back in 15 wander in front of the webcam.
Yeah, we saw that you tweeted that. He kind of freaked out. He forgot about the webcam for a minute. And he's like, how did he know I'm leaving the room? Foxy's all...
It kind of sucked because the feed dropped out when I was talking about, what was it, creationism or something.
Yeah. Oh, the guy from Kansasum.
He actually sounded like he was going to be interesting to listen to, if nothing else. And I'm like, no!
It was Matt from Pandasum.
But it was interesting to watch the feed of the Skeptics Convention. Don't tell my boss. But I was watching.
I won't.
So anyway.
Comics.
Actually, we got news first. And so we're going to be going over our news. And part of the news is, we always go over who's currently advertising on the webcomicbeacon.com site on our Project Wonderful ad spots.
And but first we do the news.
No, I'm going to do this first.
Usually,
I'm going to do this first because this is also news because they help pay for the site.
Up. Okay.
Currently on our leaderboard we have a non-comic related. It's somewhat comic related thing. It's apparently submit your comic for a chance to win at the Fabler. I have no idea what that is.
And please check the terms of service before you submit. Yeah. I don't know anything about it. And some of those comic contests have been a bit...
Yeah, thefabler.com. And I guess you could win a Cintiq, a Wacom Intuos, or a PlayStation 3, I guess, because that's comics.
You'll possibly lose right over your property, so please check.
Yeah, always check those contests and such.
I think it's based in Canada. They actually friended me on Twitter. It's some kind of...
Friendly.
Some kind of like collective thing, or I don't know what.
It's a conspiracy.
Well, anyway.
Sorry. But thank you for advertising now that we've suggested you might con artists.
Yeah. Also, on advertising on our site, we have I Dream of a Genie Bottle at geniebottle.com. And also, on the ad at the bottom of every blog post is The Antithesis at the-antithesis.net. Thanks to everyone who's advertised on our site. And this show is also brought to you by The Peculiars, a new movie, a new independent superhero film being produced by Cisco Davis Jr., who does the webcomic Pure and Hidden Truth. So check out peculiarsmovie.com and support them with their Kickstarter project to get the funding rolling so they can start filming right away. And the webcomic Beacon is going to be supplying radio snippets for them to use in the movie if they happen to need radio snippets, so I've already sent him a couple of scripts, so he's thinking it's kind of cool so far, so... And so that'll be fun. All right. Awesome. So that is all. If you'd like to know more about sponsoring or advertising on the Webcomic Beacon, go to webcomicbeacon.com/advertise.
So there.
What is cracking you up, Tanya?
You slip into like Bob Barker mode. It amuses me.
Remember to have your pet spayed or neutered.
John Yolson mode sometimes.
Oh jeez.
Who the hell is John Yolson?
He was like the commentator dude on those shows.
Oh.
On Match Game and The Price
the
is Right.
The Deep Voice guy that was always stuck in a box.
He was stuck in a box.
John Yolson.
He's in a little box.
He was. Johnny he was Olsen. Always stuck in a box behind the little glass, and they'd point at him, and then he'd say something sexy, and then they'd move
That's
on.
That's right, Bob. Diet Ride Pure Zero. Blah, 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 blah. You tell Price. $3.90.
I love you.
Eric, are you still with us?
I'm still here, guys.
I'm so sorry.
See, this is what happens. We like to have fun. And
the only reason we're apologizing is you were so incredibly professional. You completely rocked the whole show, and now we have no idea what to do with ourselves. Anything we do is going to sound lame in comparison.
I am the dick and fart joke comic girl, however, so...
Yeah, you had, what, like 2 or 3 pages dedicated to a mystery little poop that was on the floor in the bathroom trying to figure out who did it.
Oh, you know what's so funny about that is that my dad read that, and then he called me up and was like, Erica, I think you got it wrong. Here's what I think really happened. And then he reconstructed how he thought the poop got on the floor.
That's brilliant. I love that.
He's this high-powered lawyer in Seattle who's all like a super lawyer who's been quoted by this like our Supreme Court or something. I don't remember exactly. And he's like, no, here's how you solve the poop mystery. Dad.
Your dad's awesome.
And this is why you should go back and read the comic. It's filled with nuggets of brilliance.
He could nuggets. Be right up there. He could be right up there with Matlock and Perry Mason as the investigative jurist.
Poot. the poot investigator.
Be like the next, you know, the next Matlock or
something. Matlock?
Investigating the crimes, you know.
How old are you, Mark?
Or the next Perry Mason. I'm just saying. I don't think they have any more investigative lawyers like those guys, though.
I don't think they do. I think that at some point they realized that the public was aware that lawyers don't actually do any investigating.
No, the paralegals do that.
They turn it over to Frank Cannon and let him deal.
Frank Cannon.
Maybe Barnaby Jones. Just let them
Holy
deal with
cow. It. Cow. Really?
Or Simon and Simon? Anybody?
What no? decade is this?
Riptide?
It's the Wayback Machine.
Magnum, if they're in Hawaii.
Mark, stop. You're only hurting yourself.
We can use the Wayback Machine to investigate the poot.
Anyway, a couple other bits of news. Nobody sent us in any milestones unless anybody knows if anyone's had a comic anniversary lately. Nope. So, all right, moving on. For those that visit the webcat, web bleh, for those that
do the voice and bring him into another take.
And now, Vess of the Webcomic Beacon will try one more take.
For those who have visited our website at webcomicbeacon.com, might have noticed a new little like bar at the bottom of the page from called a Wibia bar or something like that.
Bar.
Yeah, you can click
bottom of the page.
Go ahead. You can click for our Twitter. You can click for our Facebook. You can join a page chat, I guess, if you wanted to chat with anybody who happens to be on the site at the time. And you can also like it on your Facebook page as well as donate. But we're seeing how well that works out because it seems to be, you know, something a little bit more intuitive. And I saw it on Evil Inc. and I thought I'd give it a shot myself. You can also check out our Twitter at webcomicbeacon.com/Twitter. Get the Twitter for me, Mark, and Tanya. And you can also check out Erica Moen on Twitter as Erica Moen.
With a K.
With a K.
With a K.
Erica. Yes.
Yes.
With a K.
With a K.
With a K.
Let's see. If anybody has any questions or wants to report any milestones, just send us an email at webcomicbeacon@gmail.com. For the next 2 weeks, well, for sure next week, 4th of July, we will not be having an episode because I will be busy at a convention. And it's a holiday. And usually not a whole lot of people show up on the holidays. And yeah. The 11th might not have a show on it just because... Tanya won't be here, so we'll be out one of our hosts. But also, I think I need the time to unpack into my new residence and just sort out a few things first. So for the next 2 weeks, we probably won't have any shows, but the next one will be on July 18th. We'll be having Megan Rose Gedras, Yamino, hey. And I believe Emmy Bittner. All on the same show, and I don't think there's any real point to the show other than just to get them all on and talk about stuff. So
stuff.
Because they expressed interest, so I'd be like, come on the show. So
yay.
Are we still recording? Yes, we are still recording. Good.
I hope so. I'd hate
too.
To have to do that radio voice all over again.
So, in any case, I believe that is all for this week. Erica, is there anything else that you would like to discuss or pimp?
Oh, gosh. Well, I guess I should mention that though I've finished Dar, I'm actually still working on two full-length graphic novels. And one of them is a dick and fart joke murder mystery. And the other one is a young adult fantasy story about a girl in high school who draws a lot of fairy tales in her sketchbook. And they come to life and kind of take over reality. And she has to do battle with the great evil in order to bring the world back to normal. And I'm working with two different authors on both of those. And because I'm not writing it, I can say that they are pretty good.
Awesome. And are you appearing anywhere?
Soon?
You said
Here, let me get open my little page that tells me. So I'm teaching for the rest of the week at PNCA, the Pacific Northwest College of Art. I'm going to be at San Diego Comic Con. There's a museum exhibit here in town at the Portland Art Museum for Robert Crumb's Book of Genesis. He just put out, he illustrated the Book of Genesis, and it's pretty amazing, to be honest.
Brilliant and brutal.
And they're bringing in guest speakers on, I forget if it's Saturdays or Sundays, but I'm a guest speaker August 22nd, 29th, and September 5th from 2 to 4 p.m. So if you want to talk about Robert Crumb or just shoot the shit, I will be there. You can talk to me. And I'm trying to get into SPX, but I'm on the wait list for the tables, and I might have a lead. But if somebody listening can help me, can share their table with me, I would be so grateful. And I think I've been accepted to APE. I'm not sure. I'm definitely going to be at New York Comic Con and then the New England Web Comics Weekend. So
you will get to go to New England.
I will. I will be there. I will understand all the inside New England jokes.
Yay.
Awesome.
I had a joke, but I forgot it. So we're going to skip the joke and just say, Erica, thanks very much for coming on this week of the Webcomic
Beacon.
Thank
you.
And good luck with your next endeavors.
Thank you very much.
Dick and Fart Joke Detective? What? Oh, I'm going to be so interested. Are they just going to be on the web at all or straight to print?
Well, they're intended to be webcomics, but then a publisher was interested in the one of them. So, I don't know. Maybe if I can get someone to pay me to work on these, I will definitely go that route. But failing that, they are intended to be webcomics. And my hope is to have them up later this year. Although, we'll see. We'll see.
All right. Well, good luck with that. Once again, thanks for coming on the show. This is Erica Moen of ericamoen.com.
Right, thank you so much, guys.
Thank you.
No problem.
Thank you.
That's all for this week of the Webcomic Beacon. I'm Ben Fess of PSIWebcomic.com.
This is Tanya of DaisiesandShit.com.
And this is Mark of AutumnLake.com.
That's all for now. Tune in next time at WebcomicBeacon.com.
And And people
you twittipated.
What?
Twittipated.
I did twit.
No. Twitterpated. You know, it's Twitterpated. From Yampy.
Twitterpitation.
That's different.